You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Well, hello to everybody out there, and welcome to Pet Life Radio, Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff. I'm Dr. Jeff Werber. We'll be your host for the next 30 minutes that go very, very quickly. For those of you that did not have the opportunity to listen to us last week, which was our first show, a couple of things that are unique to our show. Number one, we are live. We are actually live, so you can call and speak with me right now, and as well, we are a call-in show, so we don't necessarily always have an agenda. We are here for you. We're here for you to ask questions, anything you want to ask about your dog, cat, or any other animal. You can reach us at 877-385-8882, and whatever you want to pick up. If I don't know the answer, I'm going to get to the answer, and we will talk about it next week. And, I want to thank our key sponsor, which is ProSense, veterinary quality and endorsed products developed with your pet's health in mind. And you can find a complete line of ProSense quality pet products at your local Walmart and at other fine retailers. So while you nervous folks are out there kind of getting the courage up to give me a call, but we have some email questions, and I've been getting them through the week, and I think we have some really, really good questions out there. So let's share some email questions, as I said, while you are getting the courage to give us a call live. We want to hear from you so you can reach us here at the show. I don't know, hopefully you're listening online as well. It's PetLifeRadio.com. So let's talk for a second. We have an email that is coming in from Kirk in Newport Beach, California. I was wondering, is it possible to save money on pet medications by getting generic versions from the human pharmacy? I would ask my vet first, but I'm thinking it could be cost effective. That's a great question, Kirk. And typically, when it comes to our antibiotics and things like that, yes, human pharmacy medications are just fine. There are a couple of things to know. When it comes to the hormones, for example, hormone replacement medications, like for thyroid, there is a human medication called Synthroid, but humans take a much different dose. So it's very important to keep that in mind as you are shopping. You want to stick with some of the name veterinary brands for hormone supplements. Antibiotics, if you can find it generic, are fine. But remember, some of the antibiotics don't have any human counterparts. For example, a very popular antibiotic we use is called Baytril. There are some Baytril first cousins out there, but are not parts interchangeable. Baytril is enrofloxacin, one of the generics you can use that people will take. Related to that is ciprofloxacin, or Cipro, not the same, and is not as effective in dogs and cats, so don't use it. What I would, of course, recommend is ask your veterinarian first. If there is an exact medication, a human medication that you can find generic, it would probably be okay, but many of them are not available on the human side. And again, when it comes to the hormone replacements, and this is for humans as well, I recommend you stick with the name brands. So I hope that helps, Kirk. If you have any more questions, please, you can email me at drjeff@petliferadio.com, or send an email, or give us a call back here at the show. I understand we have a caller online. Hello, this is Dr. Jeff. Who's this?
Hi, this is Laura.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm good. Excellent.
Good. What can I do for you?
Well, I have two old English bulldogs. They are great. They don't have the severe eye problems that the English bulldogs have, but right. They still need to be cleaned frequently,
yes.
Especially the female is a little bit more bully than the other. And uh-huh. So my question is, because I don't like to wipe it out and scratch the eye or whatever, what kind of eye drops or cleaners do you recommend for this kind of thing?
Something that's very safe to use, and by the way, it's a two-part question in there, and it's excellent. Get some sterile saline. You can get just over-the-counter at the drugstore. It's called an eye wash. It's basically sterile saline, very right. gentle, and you can squirt it right in the eye. For some reason, dogs don't seem to have the extreme sensitivity on the eyeball when the cornea is intact. In other words, that's why they can stick their head out of a car window going 60 miles an hour and seem to be fine.
Yeah.
But, we get a little speck of dust in our eyes, and it drives us nuts. We get an eyelash in our eyes, it drives us nuts.
Right.
They, for some reason, as long as the cornea is intact, can tolerate it, which leads me to part number two. You can also take some cotton, like a cotton ball. Don't get the fake stuff. Get the real stuff. And you can moisten that well with either just, you know, lukewarm water or the sterile saline. And you can gently just rub the discharge right along the eye. Don't obviously, you're not to scarify it. You don't want to rub it back and forth, but just gently swipe it across the eye. And you can also, if you have some really like big clumps, wet the eye area around the eye first, and then gently close the eye with one hand. With the other hand, you're just kind of, you're working on the eyelids instead of the actual eyeball, and you can clean away any of the crusts that are forming, etc. So just the key really there is just to be gentle. Now, another thing to look at, if the whites of the eye, and this is something good for all of our listeners, you should really get to know what your dogs and cats look like when they're normal. And you want to look at the colors. You want to look at gum color. You want to look at eye color. Check the ears. Because in order to recognize what's no longer normal, what's abnormal, you really need to know what normal is. Now, if you look at the whites of an eye of a normal dog or cat, you will see, if you look closely, you're going to see a number of blood vessels coursing through the sclera, which is the white part of the eye. But you need to know that that's normal. But get a good look at what normal is, because when the eyes are very red, we call that injected sclera. When there are way too many vessels coming in, there's typically a reason for that. And that's something you probably want to have checked out by your veterinarian. There are certain parts of the body where many of us are very lax and say, you know what, you can try this, give it a day, you know, a little scratch on the skin, you know, wait it out, maybe try a little topical ointment, a little cortisone cream or a little antibiotic. But when it comes to eyes, there's no messing around. So if you see something abnormal, you see an eye that's extremely painful, a dog that is squinting like crazy, tearing like crazy, or has a severely injected sclera, or the eye itself just looks bigger, those are immediate reasons to see your veterinarian. Hope that helped, Laura.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Thanks for calling, and you know, you know how to get me. So advice at Pet Life Radio is free. You can't beat free. So before rushing to your veterinarian out there, just give us a call. We'll see if we can help you try a few things at home. And our job is to educate you and keep all our listeners happy and maybe save a little money in the process. Thanks for the call.
Oh, thank you.
So also, we have another email. We've gotten some really, really good emails here, and I'm so thrilled. Once again, you can send us emails to drjeff@petliferadio.com. And here's one. It's, Dear Dr. Jeff, love your show. That's very sweet. They've been listening, obviously, 1 week, but that's okay. We're going to be here for a while. I've heard that using ketamine or halothane gas to put a pet to sleep, I'm sure he meant to anesthetize, is outdated. There are newer and safer things to use. Can you tell me what they are? Should I recommend to my vet he use something newer? This is coming from Shelley. Now, it's interesting. There's a good old saying, and that does apply in a lot of cases, and anesthesia would be one of them. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yes, there are ketamine we still use all the time. We use ketamine as an induction agent. Ketamine is what's called a dissociative anesthetic. In a sense, it separates the head from the rest of the body. So animals on ketamine, they are, you know, they're aware you're sitting there and you might be putting a little catheter or something in their vein or giving them an injection or inducing them. We usually add it with something else like Valium, but they're okay with it. It's like they really can't respond. And we use ketamine and a mixture, many of us, ketamine and Valium, to simply get a dog or cat to the point of being able to intubate or put a tube down the throat. Now, halothane is an older gas. There are some that still use it. It takes a little while for the animals to become anesthetized. And likewise, when you turn the halothane gas off, it takes a little longer for them to wake up. Many of us have switched to either isoflurane or to sevoflurane, which are a bit newer, possibly a little bit more expensive, but they go down much more easily and they wake up much more easily. So personally, we use those two most of the time. If I have very, very, very infirm or old animals or very, very young animals that need to be anesthetized, I kind of prefer the SIVO. But for other things, we'll use isoflurane still, and they work very well. But your vet out there has been using halothane for years and has been just doing a bang-up job and is doing really well, then I'm okay with continuing to use it. I don't think that we should switch just because there might be new or something different or something maybe a little better on the market, because better really depends on who's administering the medication, and I think that's important to keep in mind. So, Shelley, once again, it was a great question. I think that there are some things out there, as you said, that it might be a little newer, But if your dog is doing great and has never had a problem with the halothane, then by all means, continue to use halothane. So I just want to take a quick commercial break here and maybe a word from some of our other shows. And we'll be right back in about 15 or 30 seconds. Hang tight.
We'll be right back right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Go to PetcoDeals.com and get $6 off your order of $60 or more and up to 40% off hundreds of items at Petco.
PetcoDeals.com.
But that's not all.
Are you talking to me?
Pet Life Radio listeners, try Audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold membership plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to AudibleDeals.com.
That's AudibleDeals.com.
The new Dyson Animal Vacs are powerful bagless upright vacuums for homes with pets. Air muscle and radio root cyclone technology generates the strongest suction power to powerfully remove dust, dirt, and pet hair from the home or car. Go to DysonDeals.com. DysonDeals.com.
To order your Dyson Animal Vac today.
Go to PetSmartDeal.com and save up to 30% on awesome gifts for the pets and pet people in your life. Toys, collars, leashes, PetSmart gift cards, treats, and more. Go to PetSmartDeal.com today. PetSmartDeal.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff on Let's Talk Pets, Pet Life Radio. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Phoenix and bravely, but having a wonderful time battling, weather in the mid-80s here in Los Angeles, sunny Southern California, sitting out today, looking outside, not a cloud in the sky, nice little breeze, and they're expecting 80-degree weather this weekend. For those of you who are not so lucky, I apologize in advance, but you know, this brings something to mind, and that is that we need to start being smart when it comes to our pets as the weather starts to heat up. There are a lot of things that we need to be concerned about. You know, I had this dog come in yesterday, and this is kind of what prompted this thought, that the only problem was an old Labrador that really does like to run and was at the park and started running a bit too much. It was about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And this dog started to pant like crazy. The owner could not. He offered him water, did all the things that they should do, and ultimately had to bring him in. And this poor guy had a high fever. Fortunately, she caught it early enough, and it wasn't at the heat of the, you know, the top of the heat of the day. But this dog was definitely overheated. And what happens with dogs, for those of you who don't know why dogs pant, it's very simple. When we need to accomplish heat exchange, we do it two ways. Number one is through sweating, all right? And that's probably one of the key ways. And we perspire through our sweat glands that are over most of our body. That's called the eccrine sweat gland. Dogs, however, also have eccrine sweat glands, but only two parts of their body. And, you know, if I could show you, you'd be amazed. But the only two parts, the hint is the two parts of the body are unique as far as no other parts of the body look and just like these two parts, have the exact same kind of tissue. And to give you another hint, the areas are very small. All right. And for those of you that you're probably raising your hands like you're in class and shouting out the right answer, two things, the pads of the feet and the nose. If you hold up a dog's pad to their nose, it's going to look exactly the same. And that's the only tissue on the dog's body that has the sweat gland that can actually exchange heat and quote unquote perspire. So obviously you have a dog who's, you know, overheating. There's not enough surface area between the nose and the pads to actually accomplish successful heat exchange and drop that body temperature. So what do dogs do in the process? They pant. The problem is with panting, as they really start working hard and certain breeds, you know, more than others, that it becomes less efficient. And that's how these dogs overheat. So a couple of tricks. Number one, if you're going to be the type that's out there running and walking and taking, you know, good long runs or going to the park and throwing that tennis ball or frisbee, don't do it in the middle of the day during spring and summer. You want to do it early in the morning or late in the evening. Another just word of caution for late in the evening, that the pavement, okay, you know, when we're sitting in the sun all day, actually retains heat longer than the sun goes down. So the sun could be down, you know, sort of going over the horizon at 5 o'clock in the evening. And you think, oh, great. You know, it's a little cooler. It's only 5 o'clock. You know, it's time to maybe we could take a run now. We still got a couple of hours of daylight. But check the pavement. That pavement still might be pretty darn hot. So you might want to stay onto gravel or grass or sand or something like that. Number two, make sure if you're going to take your dog for exercising during this time of year, you always take plenty of water with you. There are some great kits out there where it's a water container and water bowl all at once. You can also make sure you have access to shade. And so if you're going to be, you know, running along and the sun's up, stop frequently, offer water. A good idea is to take a bandana. And you can wet the bandana down and either put them on, you know, with a wet bandana, or sometimes I've seen people do is take the bandana, wet it at night, put it in the freezer overnight. And that way in the morning when you're going to take your dog out, you can wrap this ice cold bandana. It's so soothing for them. And that will keep them cold as well. As far as the feet, you can use little booties. They're available at, you know, any of the major pet stores to protect the pads from the ground. And also, of course, as with any exercising, that if you've been somewhat chilling during winter, those pads, just like our feet, seem to get a little bit softer and a little less calloused. So don't think that as soon as the weather gets nice, you're going to start running out and running right away on that pavement in the tough terrain, because dogs can get blisters just like we can. And one last thing, and I'm sure you've heard this a zillion times, but now it's going to be a zillion and one, and that is never, never leave your dog in a parked car outside, even in the shade, even with the windows down a little bit, because I have seen a study where they parked a car during the summer heat in the shade with the windows cracked in 14 minutes because the dog's panting and just the heat inside the car, the temperature rose to 114 degrees. That's crazy. So don't think even for a minute, oh, I'm just running in, because, you know, it's one of those things where you run in for a second because you're just picking something up from the cleaners, but then they forgot to do something and you're sitting and waiting. Meanwhile, you go outside and that dog is collapsed or is panting like crazy. It's really, really dangerous. So to recap, exercise early morning, late evening, start slow. If your dog hasn't really exercised a lot during the cooler winter months, never the parked car, take some water with you and always stop frequently for some shade and a water break. These are all important things. It could save your dog's life. So we just have another email that came in. Dear Dr. Jeff, it says, I lost one of my cats a few weeks past. He was 16. Well, that's pretty cool. And my other two cats have been acting differently towards one another and in general. Do you think they know their friend is gone? Do they feel sadness or a sense of loss? Please shed some knowledge on this topic for me and your other listeners. This is coming from Iris. Iris, you know, we really don't know. We definitely have a tendency to anthropomorphize. I remember when one of my dogs passed away, I was in vet school. I had two Labradors at the time, the old one who sadly passed and a young one. And the young one actually grew up with the older one. I mean, from the time it was a little teeny puppy, brought it home. We had a bed, a dog bed. We had a couple, obviously, but there was one particular dog bed that clearly belonged to Woodrow, Woody, my older lab. And he would never think about, I mean, the puppy would never think about sleeping in that bed. And when we came home for the first time back up to school, I was in Davis at the time, the pup would walk into that bed, sniff around it, lie down on it. He never did that before and cry. So did he recognize, did he feel the loss? Absolutely. Now, interestingly, when it comes to certain cats and even some dogs, when the surviving dog is the submissive one, I've seen some cases where now that the more maybe aggressive or more dominant alpha dog is gone, oh my God, these submissive dogs feel like $1 million, and they're walking around the house and they're strutting their stuff and they're feeling great. So in a case like that, I don't think they really miss the other one that much. Or if they do, they might be a little happy deep down inside that there's one less competitor that they have to deal with. And sometimes in a case like this, Iris, I think that it's clear that maybe the other two cats were almost kept together by the older cat that was probably the senior cat in the house and passed away. And now they're sort of having to reestablish their own relationship. And that could be, you know, what's going on. So anyway, it's a tough scenario because unfortunately, as we all know, we can't ask them ourselves. So a lot of this is sort of guessing based on their behaviors and watching them and how they interact with each other after the loss. So I hope that helps shed some light on the subject. And anyway, I'm here, Dr. Jeff. We want to hear from you. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. There's nothing you can say that would embarrass us, and nobody even will know that you're asking the question. So give us a call. Once again, the number here at Pet Life Radio is 877-385-8882, 877-385-8882. One more thing I want to add. We were talking about the potential dangers and some suggestions about summer. A lot of people do go out and start hiking more during the spring and summer. And for those of you like in the Northeast, there are a couple of issues that you don't see necessarily during the winter. Some are year-round, but seem to be more prevalent during the summer months, or at least the potential for infection is greater, and those are fleas and ticks. Now, in the Southeast, down south, I mean, there are many parts of the country where fleas are year-round, and I recommend staying on flea preventives year-round. But when it comes to spring and summer, we have to start adding in fleas, heartworm, and ticks. So make sure there's a great time now to go see your veterinarian and make sure that your pets are up to date on flea, tick, and heartworm prevention. Very important. These things are heartworm, potentially deadly. Prevention is so safe. It's so easy. They're usually little chewable treats that your dogs love. So there's no excuse. And now there are so many options for fleas and ticks as well. So make sure you see your veterinarian. There's some oral preparations for fleas and heartworm. The topical preparations for ticks. There's a new collar out there. So there are many, many things, many other options that you have when it comes to protecting your pets against fleas and ticks and heartworm disease. And heartworm disease, if you don't know, are transmitted through the bite of mosquitoes. So in the Northeast, you have obviously Lyme disease that comes from ticks, certain ticks. Then fleas are just a nuisance all the time. And we see fleas year-round here in Southern California. We never really had big heartworm problems, but now we're starting to see mosquitoes. And therefore, many of us are putting our pets on to mosquito prevention as well. But one thing I wanted to add, and again, this is certainly dependent on location, but we see a lot of snakes in some of our hiking trails, and we see a lot of rattlers. So just, again, if you love getting your dogs out there, taking advantage of the warmer weather, and you take these hikes to streams, etc., we need to be concerned about snakes. There are vaccines available. It's the rattlesnake vaccine. And if rattlers, you can just check with Parks Department. You can check with your veterinarian. If it is a problem, make sure to have your dogs vaccinated as well for against rattlesnake bites. We have a lot of clients that love going out there. We have an area called Runyon Canyon. We have dog parks, places where they can run around, Griffith Park. So many, many of my patients will come in this time of year and start getting up to date on their rattlesnake vaccines. So again, Jeff Werber, Pet Life Radio, 877-385-8882. I want to make sure that we throw in another thanks to our sponsor, ProSense Pet Products, veterinary quality and endorsed products developed with your pet's health in mind. And you can find a complete line of ProSense quality products available at Walmart and at other fine retailers. It's really good stuff. So I think we might have time for one more quick email. So it's a good thing you guys are sending me emails because I think we have a lot of shy callers. I think that also we're not used to, I guess our listeners aren't used to being able to listen to show live and to call in and get your questions answered live. So I think we have to sort of get some of these callers a little bit less shy when it comes to reaching us. And you can also, you know, type in some questions as well. But calling is a great thing to do. But if you need to reach me, you can go on to PetLifeRadio.com, click on Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff, and we can get you that way. I'm not a breeder, but our dog has had 2 litters of pups. She is 6 years old and is currently not pregnant, but is acting and eating like she is. She's also lactating. clear fluid, which is sticky. Have you run into this before? And what is wrong? Well, yes, I have. And this is called a false pregnancy. Typically, following a pregnancy, some of these dogs will hormonally go into, following a heat, they will go into a kind of a quasi-fake pregnancy. Hormonally, her body is telling her she's pregnant. So she might be getting a little bigger, her nipples will get more swollen, she could actually start lactating, but there's nothing there. So that is a not an uncommon problem that we see traditionally in many non-spayed, in fact, in only non-spayed females, which, by the way, is another really good reason, because of the hormone issues and the hormone imbalances and all the tricks they can play on your dog, that unless you are a legitimate, seasoned, excellent breeder and you have a championship dog, and this is, you know, truly this is your avocation, your hobby is breeding, then you want to get, for their sake, you want to make sure to get your dogs and cats spayed or neutered. That's very important, but spayed, of course. And if you do it at the right time, you can actually prevent a lot of problems that seem to occur later in life. So one of the things you want to think about is getting your pets spayed and neutered. If you have any questions about this, make sure to ask your veterinarian. And you can also, if there's a, you know, something you want to talk about and talk about on the air, and let's open up a little dialogue about the benefits. And there's a lot of new information out there, by the way, about spaying and neutering. So it's something that you could, would be great if you called in. Let's talk about it. New facts and figures about cancers, the prevention of certain cancers. There are, believe it or not, one or two cancers out there that seem to do better when a dog is a little older before being spayed. And there's some others out there where getting them early before their first season is the way to go. So that'll be a great discussion. In fact, I'm going to make that note of that. And we're going to talk about that next week. When is the best time to spay a dog? And it's not an easy answer. So anyway, I want to thank you for joining me here. Let's Talk Pets, PetLifeRadio.com. And my show is Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff. I'm going to be here every Thursday. We are actually working on coming up with a way, which I think will be really cool, so we can actually talk to each other online, where we can see each other. I can see who I'm talking to. You guys can see who you're talking to. And I think it'll be pretty fun. So anyway, you can, once again, Let's Talk Pets with Dr. Jeff. And I'll be here every Thursday, 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific time and 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. And of course, everything in between, depending on where you live. Reach us on email, drjeff@petliferadio.com. And for those of you that are very shy, you can also reach us here via phone at 877-385-8882. And we will look to see you or hear from you pretty soon. See you next Thursday at 1 or 4 o'clock or somewhere in between. Thanks for joining me, and we'll see you next week.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.